Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Christ Yeshua, Jesus, our Messiah. Name of this program is Free Indeed, and I'm Nicholas. We've been talking about marriage, betrothal, and divorce, and to teach the whole scripture, I have to teach something that is very difficult today. I can understand why pastors won't teach this in the pulpit, even if they accept it as truth from the scripture, though most would vehemently deny it. And why would they vehemently deny it? Well, simply because to accept the truth would hold them accountable to teach it to their congregation. If they taught it to their congregation, they could probably be run out of town on a rail. Now you're thinking, what topic could cause such trepidation? It seems like I should be in enough trouble already with what I've taught on betrothal, marriage, and divorce over the last 6 days. But what I'm going to teach you in the scripture is not really even mentioned. The fact is, so little was thought of it that they didn't even use or have a word for it, as far as I can find in the scripture. Someone may be able to find something I haven't found, but I've been looking at this for several years. What I'm talking about is a man having more than one wife, or plural marriage. Today it would be called polygamy. That's right. The father thought so little of it when he wrote his word that the Hebrews did not even have a word for polygamy. You'll see the scripture reference to many men, many of the patriarchs, the kings, having more than one wife. But they never had a term for a man having more than one wife. Now, I read the scripture for many, many years, and I mentioned this in passing during some of our teaching on this topic as we've been going through the scripture. Like I said, this is not a topic I really wanted to teach on. It's kind of difficult, but I set out to teach on betrothal, marriage, and divorce, the whole scripture, all of the scripture, what all of the scripture says, and that's what this study is about. So if anyone doesn't like it, then you have to take it up with the one who wrote the book. I am not responsible for what the Bible says. I didn't write it. I am, however, responsible for what I teach. I'm responsible to the Creator, the one who wrote the Bible. If I omit, then to me that's just as great a sin as lying. As it says in at the end of the book, it says that there's a curse for anyone who deletes. That's omission. Or anyone who adds to, that's self-explanatory. So I'm not going to take away and I'm not going to add to the scripture. Yeah, it happened several years ago that I met a man, and this is a true story. I met a man who had more than one wife. And subsequently, I've met several men who have more than one wife. Now, I went all my whole life and never met a man who had more than one wife. Or at least I never knew that I met a man who had more than one wife. You may have met people. You may have met people who are involved in polymarriages and never even have known it. I was challenged by that happenstance. I mean, you meet someone in a society of, well, basically forced monogamy. You meet a man who has more than one wife, you're bound to question that. It was just accepted that that was wrong. And I had accepted that that was wrong. However, upon meeting someone, I mean, it was fine to hear about those Muslims, how their religion allows them to have up to six wives and to put them down for that. But to actually meet a Christian man practicing the scripture in a form more religious, more sincere than just about every attendee of the corporate church, just as sincere as the circles I was running in. I consider myself a fairly sincere student of the scripture, follower of the truth, seeker of the truth, willing to lay down error in order to embrace the truth. So I was challenged. And the challenge was, show me in the scripture anywhere where our Father Creator prohibits a man from having more than one wife. That was really my beginning of truly in-depth study into the scripture and what the scripture says about this whole topic of betrothal, marriage, and divorce. basically, I began by looking for a prohibition, because certainly it had to be wrong. But immediately into my mind crept thoughts of Abraham, Jacob, David, Saul. Those are the ones that immediately came into mind. And I thought, well, you know what? They had more than one wife, and I don't, you know, I've read this book through and through thoroughly, and never once did I notice that God punished them for having more than one wife. But I knew there was something wrong with it. I knew that this was wrong. So I set out to discover why it was wrong from the Word. And that's exactly what I did. I set out to discover. And I talked to some others about it. Hey, what's wrong with plural marriage? What's wrong with a man having more than one wife? Well, have you heard at the beginning that God made them, male and female, He made them. And for this cause, and they took me to the scripture in Genesis, and then Jesus, Yeshua, our Messiah, repeated that scripture when He was asked about divorce and made the two one flesh. The two become one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. That's it? Yeah. Is that it? Only two can become one flesh? Well, upon further study into the one flesh question, you know, and here's the problem. When people find a little bit of scripture and an idea that seems to back up their presupposition, they accept it and that's it, and they don't want to go any further. But, well, you know me, I had to study into the one flesh issue, and we've covered that one flesh issue in this study. So the question is already settled. We found that a man can become one flesh with more than one woman. That's right. And well, let's go over that quickly. We go to 1 Corinthians 6:16. Paul talking about, don't you know that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. So when the scripture is talking about a one flesh union, what is it actually talking about? Well, it's talking about intercourse. It's talking about joining together and becoming one flesh. So that shows that you can become one flesh with, you could become one flesh with many partners, couldn't you? You could be one flesh with your wife. Now, the other objection is that it's adultery. For a man to have more than one wife is adultery. Well, that's what I always thought. I always thought that if a man was married and any sexual intercourse that he had with any woman besides his one wife was adultery. Well, I have studied the scripture thoroughly, and I found something else. Adultery always involves the wife of another man. That's right. That is the scriptural definition of adultery. That's a little different than the definition of adultery in the world, or commonly as we know it today, common usage. Adultery always involves another man's wife. If a man is married, I don't know if you can tell the trepidation that I feel at saying these things, but I do, because this is hard. And, you know, I have to disclaim again, because this is so unacceptable. But if you want the scripture, this is what it says. I didn't write the book. I didn't write the scripture. I'm not responsible for what the scripture says. I'm only responsible for teaching, in all truth, what it does say, not adding anything to it, nor omitting anything from it. But a clue to a biblical definition of adultery is that it always involves another man's wife. So any time a woman is with a man who is not her husband, adultery has been committed. As the scripture says, the woman could be innocent if she is forced, and not guilty of adultery where the man forcing the woman or raping her is guilty of adultery. So the sin is not actually the act itself, but it's the intent. So you see, the contention of a man having more than one wife cannot be adultery, according to the scripture. One of the most telling passages in the scripture about a man having more than one wife was a teaching given by Yeshua, our Messiah, himself. Yes, Jesus taught us about the kingdom of heaven. And if a man having more than one wife, and let's say polygamy, and actually polygamy is not an exact term. Polygamy is just more than two people or a person being married to more than one person. So polygamy in the modern vernacular, by strict definition, could be a woman having two husbands, which the scripture does teach against, because that is adultery. If a woman has more than two men, that's either an abomination, because she would be a whore in that case, because she would have multiple partners, or if she were married and had more than two men, that would be adultery. Now, if Yeshua was going to teach us about the kingdom of heaven, he wouldn't put himself in the circumstance of committing adultery if having more than one wife for a man was the sin of adultery. Would he? Would he teach that? Would he liken the kingdom of heaven unto adultery? Let's see what he says here in Matthew 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps, while the bridegroom tarried. And they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go you out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went into him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came the other virgins, and you know the story. But here we have a teaching, a parable, given by the Messiah himself, where he's set to marry 10 virgins. 5 went into him, and the door was shut, and the other 5 didn't come in. Now, why would the Master, the Creator, use sin to teach about the kingdom of heaven? Well, he would not. This is not the only instance where Yeshua had an opportunity to teach that polygamy was a sin. He had another opportunity. And his other opportunity, what did he do? He didn't take the opportunity, but he reaffirmed the law. Let's go there. Matthew 22, verse 23. The same day came unto him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, If a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife, and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us 7 brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife to his brother, and likewise the second also, and the third unto the 7th. And the last of all the woman died also. Therefore in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the 7? For they all had her. Now, the law required a man to take his brother's wife, if his brother died, and left no seed, to raise up seed unto his brother. What if a man was already married? There's no exception in the scripture. The law required him to take his brother's wife. I guess the brother's wife could object, perhaps, but I don't see any circumstance there. So there were circumstances in the law where it would be required for a man to take an additional wife. To go even further than that, there were rules written in the law for a man having more than one wife, and we've covered these. If you haven't listened to this whole series on betrothal, marriage, and divorce, to take this day's teaching, this session alone, is not really appropriate. You really need to listen to the whole thing, because I'm going over a lot of scriptures here that we have covered in depth. The fact is, the law, if you go back to the prior days and search the scriptures for yourself, the law required that if a man take another wife, he shall not diminish his support, food, clothing, and duty of marriage to his former wife. And then we read in Malachi how Yahweh hateth putting away. Yes, God hates divorce. And he was talking about a man putting away the wife of his youth. You know, a young couple would be betrothed. They would be married, and she would get you know, 35, 40, 45, whatever, older, and maybe not so good looking. Maybe she started to fill out her genetic material, as is the circumstance of life. And he takes him a nice young wife able to bear children because his first wife has gone through menopause. She can't bear children anymore. The law of God says no. Not no to taking another wife, but no to putting away his wife. And Christ went even further. He said that if a man is to put away a wife, that he should not marry again. He should not be allowed to take another wife. And that rule, Paul affirmed, went both ways. That if a woman leave her husband, that she should remain married or be reconciled to her husband. Now, he was talking to Christians. This was a rule for believers, followers of the way that he was teaching. It doesn't mean it's right for the unbelievers to do, but the unbelievers don't care what the rule of law is anyway. They do what is right in their own eyes. So we see that the Messiah had a chance, had an opportunity to tell us that the law had changed. Because, you know, you have to admit that if polygamy or polygyny in the case of what is really lawful, only polygyny is lawful. Now, polyandry is a woman having more than one sexual partner. A whore would be someone who practiced polyandry. Or if there were a place, any woman having more than one sexual partner or being married to more than one man would be termed polyandry. But polygyny is the proper term, meaning a man having more than one wife or more than one sexual partner. I guess it doesn't really even denote marriage. But in the case of the law of God, the marriage would be appropriate. A man shouldn't have more than one sexual partner. And without marriage, sexual activity without marriage is at least fornication, according to the scripture. Well, I'm still looking. The challenge was to find any prohibition anywhere in the scripture against a man having more than one wife. I hadn't found it yet. So, upon talking to someone else, well, actually, this one came up many times. This is probably the greatest scripture against polygyny in the whole scripture. It's there. Yeah, you might even thought of it. But this is the one. I finally found it. Someone finally showed it to me. So let's take a real good look at this and see what, if there actually is a prohibition here. Because what we want the truth. Do we not want the truth? Or are we looking for scripture to back up our presupposition? I'm not. I'm looking for the truth. I want to live my life by his law word, not by societal norms, not by the teaching of the Roman Holy Universal Catholic Church and its doctrine. I don't want to live by and under the idol of romance. I want to see his word, because the truth is, I don't want to condemn anyone that for doing anything that the Father does not condemn somewhere in his word. I do not want to make a judgment based on anything but his word. And remember, I met these people. I met this man who had more than one wife. I was challenged, and I was determined to show by the scripture that this was wrong, because I knew it was wrong. But I've come to find out that everything I've known may be wrong, because I've been changing my mind about a lot of things simply by digging deeper into the scripture. Now let's get to that reference, the one I finally found, the one that was finally shown to me, where it is wrong, where the scripture condemns a man for having more than one wife. Let's go there now. Our first reference is in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy for filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of Yahweh? How shall he take care of the church of God? It says in the Authorized King James Version. There it is. The scripture says the husband of one wife. Now, let me ask you, is this scripture about marriage? I have to be honest here. You know, I mean, if I'm just looking, you know, I mean, people showed me this and they're so convinced by this that this is a prohibition against anyone having one wife, but it's not honest. That's not an honest determination of what the scripture says, but there are three or four more references similar to this in the New Testament, and we'll look at each one to see if there's any difference. But actually, this scripture has nothing to do with marriage. It's not about marriage. The object of the scripture, the subject of these verses, is qualifications for becoming a bishop. A bishop. What's a bishop? A superintendent. An officer, someone in charge, a governor, overseer, figuratively, a bishop. That's episkopos. So it's basically someone who's in charge, someone who's going to be giving people instruction. And these are the qualifications for becoming a bishop. This is not a teaching on marriage. So what is this saying? Well, there's a clue here. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection. Well, to have children, you have to have what? You have to have at least one wife, wouldn't you? To have children lawfully, you'd have to have at least one wife. I guess you could have children outside of marriage, but it says here one wife. So to have those children, you have to have them through a lawful marriage. Basically, it doesn't say that he has to be the husband of only one wife. And since this scripture is actually about qualifications for a bishop, and the scripture qualifies itself by saying one that ruleth his own house well, having his children in subjection with all gravity, we realize that at least the scripture is only saying that a man must be married and have children because he needs to know how to rule a household before he can rule the household of Yahweh. And if we could, but I don't believe we can honestly, but if we could, or if we had to say that this scripture actually is a prohibition, which there is no prohibition here, but somehow, I mean, you have to be honest. Well, I have to be honest. Maybe you don't, because I found out that a lot of people don't have to be honest. This scripture does no way prohibit anyone from taking more than one wife. But even if it was saying a bishop could have only one wife, and you'll notice I'm adding the word only, because the word only is not in the scripture itself there. But even if this were a rule that a bishop or someone who was a leader in the church could only have one wife, then this would only apply to leadership in the church, to the person who wanted to be a leader in the church. So that would be saying that everyone else was allowed to have more than one wife, unless we can find a scripture somewhere else. But we have three other verses here, and it's always in the context where it uses this terminology, the husband of one wife. Like I said, it doesn't say only, so there's no prohibition having to do with marriage here at all. And it's always the subject is about leadership, qualifications for leadership in the church. Let's look at the next reference real quickly. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children in their own house well. It's always coupled with ruling in the house and the qualification being able to rule in the house. For they that have used the office of deacon well purchase themselves a good degree. And okay, so we have that reference. Let's look at another reference here. Let not the widow be taken in number. Okay, that's not a reference. Titus 1:6. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. So this one wife, first wife, and this actually the word one here in the Greek 33:91, one of the definition is first. So I would say in context that the scripture here is actually saying that a man must have his first wife, if we're going to be honest. But if we want to be dishonest and say that this means that a man can only have one wife, then we can only apply this assumed prohibition. And I'm saying quote because this would be a private interpretation if you assume that there's a prohibition here. That if any be blameless, this assumed prohibition can only be for people that want to be a bishop. For a bishop must be blameless, it says in context here, as a steward of God And he goes on, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, and the same teaching here, not a prohibition. So what can we conclude? No prohibition. At least we can conclude that there's no prohibition from a man who does not want to be in leadership in the church from having more than one wife. We see that Jesus, Yeshua, our Messiah, used a picture of polygamy, a man taking more than one bride, to teach about the kingdom of heaven. Now, certainly, if it was adultery, would he have done that? That would be anathema for him to use sin to teach about the kingdom of heaven. So what am I saying? Am I saying that everyone should go out and have more than one wife? Or how do we apply that to the church today? What have the repercussions been? What would the repercussions be if Christians change their mind about these things? What would happen? What changes would we have seen in society? What changes would come in society? There's a lot of questions here, but I'll tell you what, upon learning this, there's a lot of answers too. It certainly tells me, it gives me an answer about the vast difference between men and women. For instance, men can procreate as long as they're healthy until the day they die. Women are limited in procreation till the time of menopause, usually in their 40s. What's with that? If Yahweh meant for a man and a woman to be monogamous, why did he make them different? And when men go out and seek a younger wife, does this give us a clue? If Yahweh made men and women differently, and he made men to be men and women to be women, isn't it quite natural? It gives us a little insight into the behavior of men and women, whether they're Christians or not, but especially if they're not. You see them leaving their wives or divorcing their wives to take younger women. Is this something that Yahweh made up as part of man? Not the divorce part, because now the divorce is almost forced. If a man wants a new wife or a younger woman, he has to leave or put away his former wife. We have required it by our law today, but Yahweh never required it by his law. So the only true objection we can have is not by the law of God or the Holy Bible, but is by the law of man. What does the law of man say? It says that bigamy is illegal. And so what is bigamy? Well, it's for a man or a woman to have more than one spouse, and almost always is a deception of sorts. There's no deceptions in biblical polygamy, to use that term. Like I said, this is about what the scripture says. I didn't write the word. I'm not responsible for what God wrote in his word. I'm only responsible to teach the whole word to him. He has called me to do this, and I didn't feel like doing this day of teaching. It was nice to touch lightly upon it as we went through this whole series on betrothal, marriage, and divorce. But I felt like the Father, the Holy Spirit, would not let me get away without specifically spending one teaching session on this topic. We're going to spend the next session talking about the repercussions, some hypotheticals, and what this would mean in our society if this were to be embraced. We got to stop here. We'll pick this up on the other side of the break.